In today's world of religion, we often hear a preacher appeal to his audience, "Give your heart to the Lord." Often many respond just on emotion alone and walk down the aisle in the church or coliseum. Could they have experienced a false conversion? In many cases, the preacher left out a very important biblical requirement. He neglected to tell them they needed to repent. What does the Bible say about true repentance? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World presents Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, John O'Gwen, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Richard Ames asks, "Have you truly repented?" And now, Richard Ames.
Warm greetings to you all. How often do you hear on radio or television an appeal to give your heart to the Lord? Perhaps sometime in the past, you stood with thousands of others in a large coliseum and heard a preacher preach Christ. Perhaps you were emotionally moved to walk down the aisle and publicly give your heart to the Lord. In many such campaigns, thousands have experienced a false conversion. Why did that happen? For many, their momentary response was based on emotion alone. The preacher and the convert forgot something vital to conversion. They omitted one of the most basic requirements given by Jesus Christ Himself. Turn to Mark, the first chapter, verse 15. Here's what Jesus said. Mark 1, verse 15. "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Did the preacher tell his audience that God requires repentance? On today's program, we'll see what the Bible reveals about true repentance, and we'll be offering you a free inspiring booklet that gives you the steps to genuine conversion. It's titled, "Should You Be Baptized?" Be sure to write down the address and telephone number, and you can also request this free booklet on our website at tomorrowsworld.org. If you have your Bible, turn to Mark, the first chapter. Mark introduces this chapter giving a brief description of John the Baptist. John's ministry fulfilled the prophecies in Malachi 3:1 and Isaiah 40, verse 3, as the one who would prepare for the Messiah's first coming. Notice what John did and what he preached. Mark 1 and verse 4. "John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." Now notice 2 points. First, John preached repentance for the remission of sins, or for the forgiveness of sins. And second, he baptized those who confessed their sins. Mark 1, verse 5. "Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins." Many people confessed their sins, and John baptized them or immersed them in the Jordan River. Now, who else was baptized by John? This important example is often overlooked by many preachers and those professing Christianity. Mark 1 and verse 9. "It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Since Jesus never sinned, he didn't need to repent and be baptized. So, why was he baptized? Let's read Matthew's account of Jesus' baptism. Matthew 3 and verse 13. "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me?'" Why was Jesus baptized? He explains in verse 15. "But Jesus answered and said to him, 'Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he allowed him." My friends, let's understand the importance of Jesus' example and the preaching of John the Baptist. Jesus was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. First of all, Jesus affirmed the ministry and preaching of John the Baptist by being baptized. Secondly, Jesus submitted to the very way of life that he expects us to live. And thirdly, Jesus also set us an example to follow. When one becomes a committed and converted Christian, he or she will wholeheartedly strive to follow the example of Jesus Christ. That includes Jesus' example of baptism. Now, did the New Testament church, which Jesus founded on the day of Pentecost, also follow the pattern of John the Baptist and Jesus? What did Peter preach to the thousands assembled there in Jerusalem on Pentecost? Turn in your Bible to the book of Acts, Acts 2 and verse 36. Peter preached to a crowd of people who were at the temple on Pentecost. Christ had promised that God would give the Holy Spirit. Now, many in Peter's audience were also in the crowd before Pontius Pilate when they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Many of them also cried out for Jesus' crucifixion. So in Acts 2, verse 36, Peter spoke to the assembled thousands. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Now what did Peter say? Here was his chance to say, "You don't need to do anything. Just come as you are. You don't need to change anything in your life." My friends, Peter did not say that. What did he say? Be sure to mark this verse in your Bible, Acts 2, verse 38. If you don't have a Bible with you, write down this reference and read it in your own Bible later. Here's the beginning of the New Testament church. Peter said in Acts 2, verse 38, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." As the Apostle Peter stated, the act of baptism in the name of Jesus Christ is for the remission of sins, or the forgiveness of sins. When one is baptized, he or she is demonstrating faith in the sacrifice of Christ. The Apostle Paul explains the meaning of baptism in Romans 6 and verse 3. "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." When a minister baptizes someone, he or she is immersed or put under the water for a brief moment to symbolize burial unto one's own death. As Paul said, we are symbolically buried with Christ. Have you done that? Then coming up out of the water symbolizes our new life in Christ. We then walk or live in newness of life. My friends, genuine repentance and conversion lead to a new life. Many of you want that desperately, but something's missing. And what is it that's missing in your life? You're missing the spiritual dimension. You're missing the Holy Spirit in your life. God promises that after genuine repentance and baptism, He will give you the power of the Holy Spirit. God imparts His life into the believer through the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Peter preached in Christ's authority. He told everyone to repent and be baptized. That means you and me. As a result of Peter's preaching on Pentecost, 3,000 people were baptized that day. Let's read that in Acts 2 and verse 40. "And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.'" And aren't we also living in a time of perversity? Verse 41. "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." My friends, you need to be baptized in Christ's name, just as new converts were on Pentecost in 31 A.D. But you also need to study into it for yourself and not just take my word for it. In the next part of the program, we'll discuss the characteristics of true repentance. But first, I'd like to offer you our free, inspiring booklet, "Should You Be Baptized?" As you read the Bible and begin to seek God in prayer, you'll come to understand just how selfish and sinful your human nature is. And you'll see the vital need for personal change. You'll repent of your sins and your human nature. Then you'll need to prayerfully consider making the biggest commitment of all to give your whole life to God through Jesus Christ. We demonstrate our commitment to Christ through baptism. As the Apostle Peter stated on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:38, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Every sincere person who wants to turn his life around needs to be baptized. But you need to understand what your responsibility is according to the Bible. This free booklet, "Should You Be Baptized," will help you understand the practical steps you need to take. This booklet will give you the encouragement and the information you need to begin a new life. Perhaps there are older teenagers in your family or younger adults who want to change their lives and begin a new way of living. This vital booklet, "Should You Be Baptized," will help you and your family. So pick up the telephone right now and request your free booklet, "Should You Be Baptized." Just ask for the booklet on baptism.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
In the first part of our program, we saw the reason why some professing Christians have experienced a false conversion. They expressed an emotional response to a religious appeal, but they never really repented. The biblical instruction for conversion, as Jesus gave us, is to repent and believe in the gospel. Our regular viewers have been hearing the gospel Jesus preached, the gospel of the coming kingdom of God. Jesus Christ will establish the kingdom here on earth at His second coming. We all pray for that day. Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come." That's in Matthew 6 and verse 10. Now, just what is repentance, and what do you repent of? Repentance is a change of heart and mind. In fact, the Greek word for repent is metanoeo, which means to think differently. As the New Unger's Bible Dictionary states it, quote, "In the theological and ethical sense, repentance is a fundamental and thorough change in the hearts of men from sin and toward God," end of quote. In essence, repentance means to turn your life around. You've been living the way of selfishness and sin. Now you turn around and go the other way. You give your life to God, and you begin to live the way of the Bible. You begin to live God's way of life, as exemplified by Christ. Now, what do you repent of? You repent of sin. And what is sin? Turn in your Bible to 1 John 3 and verse 4. "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." Or as the King James Version states it, "Whoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." God is the one who defines sin, and He is the one who tells us that sin is the transgression of the law. Whenever we transgress any one of the Ten Commandments, in the spirit or in the letter, we sin. In Romans, the 7th chapter, the Apostle Paul describes his own conversion and how he was convicted of sinning. Romans 7 and verse 7. "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, 'You shall not covet.'" When the Apostle Paul compared his life to the Ten Commandments, he clearly saw that he had transgressed the Tenth Commandment, which states, "You shall not covet." You can read all Ten Commandments in Exodus the 20th chapter and Deuteronomy the 5th chapter. These commandments, along with many other scriptures in the Bible, define sin. The Apostle Paul was convicted of his lust, which he acknowledged was sin. Sometimes an individual has grown up in a relatively moral circumstance, and he finds it difficult to realize his sin. I was counseling one such college student one time who couldn't see that he was a sinner. I encouraged him to pray and ask God to show him his sins. He could do his part by examining himself as the Bible instructs in 2 Corinthians 13:5. I encouraged him to think about every one of the Ten Commandments and to ask the question, not have I transgressed this commandment, but how have I transgressed each of the Ten Commandments? Later he told me he could see how he had transgressed all but the Tenth Commandment. I asked him if he ever lusted. He finally came to see more of his own nature and sinfulness. So what do you repent of? You repent of sin, which is the transgression of God's righteous and holy law. But one must come to understand the penalty of sin. Romans the 6th chapter in verse 23 tells us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The penalty for sin is death. Death for all eternity after being burned up in a lake of fire. But for those who repent and accept the sacrifice of Christ, God gives them forgiveness for all the sins that are past. They demonstrate their faith in Christ's sacrifice by being baptized, as the Scriptures plainly teach us. And if some of you truly want to turn your life around, you may want counseling from a minister. We have ministers in many regions around the world to help counsel you and answer your questions. When you call to request today's free booklet on baptism, just let the operator know that you would like a visit with a minister in your area. Once you're convicted that you have sinned, how do you respond? If you're truly repentant, you'll express a genuine sorrow to God for your sin. Notice Paul's description of true repentance and its characteristics in 2 Corinthians 7. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. "For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death." In other words, godly sorrow produces a change in one's life, a change in one's thinking. But the person who's only sorry that he or she got caught and is spending time in jail, for example, is just expressing the sorrow of the world that works death. Why? Because there's no genuine change in his life, no genuine commitment to quit sinning. Paul goes on to describe the characteristics of godly sorrow. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 11. "For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner. What diligence it produced in you, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication. In all things you proved yourselves to be clear in this matter." The Corinthians, to whom Paul was writing, made genuine changes in their lives. What motivates us to change? Sometimes it's because we fear the consequences of our actions and lifestyles. We see that the pain and suffering we're causing ourselves and others demands that we repent and change. Sometimes it's the gospel that convicts us of sin, and we fear the ultimate penalty. The New Unger's Bible Dictionary states it this way, quote, "Repentance, it should be observed, has different stages of development. In its lowest and most imperfect form, it may arise from fear of the consequences or penalty of sin. If it goes no farther than this, it is simply remorse and must end in despair." End of quote. That's why Jesus not only said to repent, but to repent and believe in the gospel, the good news of his coming kingdom. And he told us how we can be a part of that kingdom. God also has been warning the Western world through this program that unless we individually and nationally repent, we will face the great tribulation. God will judge our Western nations unless we change our lawless and perverse ways of living. There is wrath and judgment coming. Remember what John the Baptist said to the religious leaders of his day? Matthew 3 and verse 7. "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, He said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance." Once we seriously understand Bible prophecy and what lies ahead, we need to, as John said, bear fruits worthy of repentance. That means you will actually change your habits and your lifestyle. You'll draw closer to God by praying to Him and by reading your Bible to understand His will for you and your life. My friends, if you haven't learned to pray, just get down on your knees and cry out to the God in heaven for His help and mercy. Admit your sins and confess them to God. When ancient King David of Israel had committed adultery with Bathsheba, God's prophet Nathan confronted him. Did David try to justify his sin, just as some religious people do today? Or did David admit his sin? 2 Samuel 12 and verse 13. You can read the whole chapter of 2 Samuel 12 to get the whole story. What did David say to the prophet Nathan? 2 Samuel 12 and verse 13. "So David said to Nathan, 'I have sinned against the Lord.' And Nathan said to David, 'The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die.'" David admitted his sin to God. David also prayed a heartfelt prayer that reveals an attitude of genuine repentance. You can pray that way as well. We'll see that prayer in the conclusion of our program. But first, I'd like to offer you our free booklet, Should You Be Baptized? This inspiring booklet will give you the spiritual and practical guidance you need to turn your life around. Many of us are just fed up with our past life and our present behavior. We want to change. The Bible shows you you can live a new life, a different life. This booklet, Should You Be Baptized, will give you the biblical references and the guidance you need. So pick up the telephone right now and request your free booklet, Should You Be Baptized? There may be some older teens or young adults in your family who want to begin a new way of life. This booklet will give them the information and guidance they need to make a wise decision. Be sure to request your free copy. Just ask for the booklet on baptism.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
King David had committed adultery, yet he repented deeply. Some of you may have committed adultery, fornication, or some other sexual sin. You can be forgiven if you repent. Read the Psalm of David's repentance. He prayed to God. He admitted his sin. And he begged God for mercy. If you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 51. If you don't have a Bible with you, write down the reference. Listen to this heartfelt prayer, Psalm 51, verse 1. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." When you come to understand it, the blood of Christ is what cleanses us from sin, as it states in 1 John 1, verse 7. David continues his prayer of repentance in verse 3. "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge." Not only did David acknowledge his sin, but he also understood more deeply that sin is against God. David said, "Against you, you only have I sinned." Now David had, in a sense, sinned against Bathsheba by committing adultery with her. He had also sinned against Bathsheba's husband by ensuring that he would be killed in battle. But it is God who gave the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, and you shall not kill. When you come to deeply understand the reality of sinning against God, the Creator and the Lawgiver, you understand that you are under the death penalty. As the Apostle Paul put it in Romans 7 and verse 9, I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. Once you come to understand that you have been under the death penalty because of your sinful life, you can look back on your life and realize that God could have exacted that penalty long ago because you deserved it. You'll come to understand that in spite of your many years of sinfulness, God was patient and compassionate toward you. Then you'll come to a more profound repentance as you realize the depth of God's love. Romans 2 and verse 4 makes that point. Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Yes, it's the goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering of God that leads us to repentance. Just think about your sinfulness contrasted with God's love for you. So what should you do? Examine your life with respect to God's Word and His commandments. Ask God to show you how you sinned. And once you've seen your sins, confess them to God. Ask for His mercy as King David did in Psalm 51. Read Isaiah 55 and verse 6. God promises forgiveness and mercy to those who repent and believe the gospel. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. And let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. God is love, and He's faithful in His personal love to you. Now is the time to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. May God bless you as you seek Him with your whole heart. We invite you to join us every week on the Tomorrow's World program. Roderick Meredith, John O'Gwynn, and I will continue to share with you the teachings of Jesus Christ and the meaning of life itself. Be sure to request your free inspiring booklet on baptism. And be sure to join us again next week, right here, at this same time.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. We invite you to visit our webpage at tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.